Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to our final Anchored in the Word morning reflection for this week. And I'm very excited about the topic that we're dealing with this week because I think it's so practical. And what we're doing now is we're getting to the heart of the practical side. And so if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to come with us. And we're going to look at verses 18 down to verse 23 again, just so we can remind ourselves of what's going on. And then we're going to look at sort of the final part of this, and that is learning to preach the truth to ourselves and the importance of that. And so here's what the scripture says, Luke chapter 7, verse 18. It says, "And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? In that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Now, just to kind of remind you what we talked about yesterday in the morning, it'll kind of help us to set the stage for what we're going to talk about today. And so yesterday, we learned about the importance of the way that Jesus responded to John. He pointed him back to the facts that were right in front of him. He didn't shame him or tell him, you know, just get over it. He didn't remind him of some past experience or appeal to his emotions. He pointed him to something that was going on right there in front of him. There was a verification of both the ministry of Christ, the signs that were authenticating his claim to be the Messiah, and the content of his message. And by the way, when Jesus performs these miracles, John the Baptist would have remembered certain prophecies, for instance, in the book of Isaiah, where it talks about the Messiah performing these very miracles. And so what Jesus is ultimately saying is, well, look at the facts that are going on right now. My ministry is being verified, and the message that I'm preaching is consistent with what the Messiah's ministry and message would be. So he's calling him back to the facts. He's calling him back to something that is objectively true. And yesterday we also talked about the fact that that's exactly what Luke was doing with Theophilus. The book of Luke and the book of Acts were meant to convince him, Theophilus, of the certainty of those things wherein he had been instructed. And so Luke is writing an orderly account to remind him of the evidence that this is what the scripture says would happen. This is what actually did happen. Here are the implications of that. That's what he's doing. So what we saw yesterday and what we're going to dig into a little bit more today is the fact that as Christians, when we begin to get shaken on some point of doctrine, on some part of our Christian experience, maybe we begin to doubt that we are saved, we don't have a strong confidence, whatever the situation is, that God is good and that he's wise in what he allows, we need to go back to the scriptures. And as we go back to the scriptures, that's how our faith will be strengthened. And we see that this is a very consistent pattern in scripture. And I want to give you several examples. There's a word that is going to be used in the different examples that I'm giving you. And it's translated a lot of different ways. For instance, it's translated the word conclude, or to reckon, or to think on something, or to ponder on something. And that's the Greek term logizomai. Now, if you don't study Greek, that doesn't mean anything to you. But it's important for us to recognize that that particular term is a term that has a very rich sense to it. And the sense is that a person is looking at facts, and they're internalizing those facts, they're analyzing those facts, and then they are reckoning them. They are taking account of those things. Almost like a person says, you know, here's our logbook of all of our expenses, all of our income, all of our expenses. And now I want to look at the receipts, and I want to compare those things, and I want to see if what you said has happened, your logbook, is consistent with the evidence of those transactions, that you had income and that you had expenses, and that those are consistent with what you said that they were actually used for. That accounting process is looking at the facts and making sure that, in fact, that is true. And then you are verifying that that's true. That word is a very important word in our Christian experience. When a person has an issue of doctrine, an issue of practice, their experience, and they're beginning to have questions, they've got to go back to the truth, what is objectively true, and ask the question, are my emotions consistent with the facts? Is my thinking pattern and process, is it consistent with the facts? Am I actually processing my experience in light of what God actually says is true? That's what we mean by this word reckon or account. And so when a person's dealing with struggles, the response shouldn't be, let me wallow in my misery and let me nurse my wounds. That's not the response that we should have, or to disconnect from reality and say, you know, I'm just going to divert. I'm not going to think about this. I'm just going to ignore it and act like it never happened, like I never felt those things, that those thoughts never popped into my mind. I've got to actually wrestle with what's going on there. And by the end of our talk today, I'm going to kind of give you a practical example of that. We have to go back to the facts. We have to purpose to live in the light of what God says is true. We need to purpose to think the way that God says is true, to actually make sense of what we're experiencing in the light of what God says is true. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. For instance, a person that believes that somehow they can earn their way to heaven, okay? It's through keeping the law and establishing their own righteousness. A person who believes that if they go to the scriptures and they analyze the scriptures, this is what the conclusion of the matter will be. Romans chapter 3, 28. Therefore, we conclude a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. What is Paul saying in Romans chapter 3? He's saying if you look at all the scriptural data and you consider all the implications of those things and you process those things, the conclusion of the matter is that it's impossible for a person to be justified by doing the law, because nobody keeps the law and we fall short in every way. And so salvation cannot come through our own righteousness, our own works of the law. Or for instance, in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, what is Paul doing? Paul's saying, my experience is that when I suffer, I feel the weight of those things and I'm discouraged and I'm frustrated. But then when I take the truths of Scripture and I think about my situation in the light of eternity and in the light of what God is doing in my life and in the light of what I have in Christ, and I start looking at all these biblical truths, I reckon, I come to the conclusion after looking at the facts and internalizing them, that the sufferings of this present world do not compare to the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's what we mean by reckoning. Or Romans chapter 6, verse 11, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says, I know it's true that you experience temptation, and I know it's true that sometimes you stumble and you sin, and you don't live the consistent Christian life. You don't live out the position that you have in Christ the way that you should. But even though that has been your experience, that you face temptation, that sometimes you sin, sometimes you're inconsistent with your position, when you analyze the facts about what God says about the believer, he's a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away, all things become new. The person who was spiritually dead is now spiritually alive. You've been freed to walk in newness of life. He says, you must live in the light of that truth. Reckon yourself to be dead to sin. Look at the truth, analyze it, and live in the light of the implications of those truths. Philippians 4:8, probably the best example of the ones that I'm looking at. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, and that word think is legizomai, think on these things. So what's he saying? He's saying that when it comes to the Christian life, the focus of my internal thoughts needs to be on what is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. If there's any virtue and praise, think on these things. What's the point? The point is that as a Christian, I have to learn to develop the discipline of thinking about the truth and preaching the truth back to myself, of reckoning things to be true, of accounting, considering, calculating, internalizing the truth. That is ultimately what Jesus was doing with John the Baptist. He was saying, look at the facts, consider them, and live in the light of them. And what did John do? Well, that's exactly what he did. What is Luke ultimately telling Theophilus? He's saying, think about the truth, analyze the facts, and then live in the light of the implications of those truths. I'll give you a great practical example from the Psalms, and that's Psalm 42, verse 11. I'm sure you've heard this verse, and it's something that I've been meditating on quite a bit this past week. Here's what it says. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, Psalm 42 is a psalm where in the beginning, David expresses, or not, it's actually not David, the psalmist is expressing his intense longing for God's presence. His love for the Lord. He says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee. But even though this person loves the Lord, even though he longs to be in his presence and to delight in him, he's going through a period where he is shaken and he is troubled. And so in the midst of that, what does he do? He first of all begins with a question. The question isn't directed to a friend. The question isn't directed to God. The question is directed back to himself. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you discouraged? He's asking himself that question. What's the cause? What's the root? What's the purpose? Very important question. He says, why art thou disquieted within me? Why is your heart so overwhelmed with all these thoughts that are causing you to become discouraged and frustrated? He begins by asking himself a question. Why are you discouraged? Why are you so anxious? The truth is that the answer to that question is going to help us to know where to go next. He says, hope thou in God. So he's once again not talking to God, and he's not talking to a friend. He's talking to himself. He asks, why are you cast down? And then he says, hope in God. Well, the reason that that's so important is because the question, why are you cast down and disquieted, it's going to explain where you're having doubts, where your struggle lies. Maybe you're doubting that God is good, or maybe you're doubting that God is wise, or you're doubting that God is in control. And so by answering that question, then you go to the scriptures and what? Hope in God. The psalmist is saying, put your heart on the truth and read the truth and meditate on the truth and consider the implications of the truth and allow the truth to strengthen you. Hope in God. You know what hope is? Hope is saying that God promised something and I'm going to live in the light of it. I have a steadfast assurance, confidence that what God said is true, and I'm living as if that's actually true. So the psalmist is saying, I ask myself the question, why are you discouraged? From there, I'm going to say, hope in God. I'm going to talk to myself. And then the next thing he says this, I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. What that indicates is that when a person understands what the root cause of their fear and their anxiety and their discouragement and their weariness is, then they go to the Word and they find what God says about those matters. And as they remind themselves of the truth, God uses the truth to what? To uplift their countenance and to press them into praise and gratitude. This is a very important principle for us to understand in the Christian life. We've got to learn to speak to ourselves when our heart is disquieted. We've got to learn to preach the truth back to ourselves. One of the reasons that being regularly in church and hearing the preaching ministry is so important is because what happens is someone gets up and he is addressing an audience, a congregation. He's not speaking directly to you as one individual, speaking to the congregation, but he's able to say things in a pretty forceful manner because it's to a group of people. But as you're sitting there and as you're hearing those truths being expounded and being applied and being directed to the congregation, the Holy Spirit takes those truths and applies to you personally, to your own heart. And so what happens is the truth is being preached to you, and as the truth is being preached to you, God uses it to stir up affection. God uses it to convict you. God uses it to encourage and uplift you. God uses it to press you into worship. That's the power of the preached word. Well, we need to preach the truth to ourselves too. It's not just having the preacher preach to me. I need to preach the truth to myself as well. The whole point of this section of Scripture and the implications of it comes down to this. In our moments of weakness, we need to respond to that weakness in wisdom so that our faith is strengthened. Preach the truth back to yourself. Logizomai, reckon it, account it, consider it, ponder it. Allow the implications to really settle into your soul and allow God in your moment of weakness to strengthen you through his word. I hope that our study this week has been an encouragement to you. I've certainly enjoyed going through this passage because it's been encouraging to my heart. And I'm sure it's been encouraging to yours as well. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. Send me a text, send me an email, send us a Facebook message, and I'll be glad to get back with you and hopefully be an encouragement to you as you seek to apply regularly in your daily walk these truths from God's Word. Have a blessed rest of your day. Have a great weekend. Bye now.